scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 25, verses 1 through 11. Psalm 25, verses 1 through 11. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenants and his decree. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my sin. For it is great. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A number of years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see the effect of hope on those undergoing hardship. They took two sets of laboratory rats. They took one set of rats and placed them in a tub of water and they just left them there. An hour later, every single one had drowned. They took a second set of rats. They tossed them into a tub. And every once in a while, they'd pick them up, put them back in. Pick it up, put it back in. These rats swam for 24 hours. Now, what was the difference? Well, this is according to the researchers. The researchers said it wasn't that the rats had enough rest from the little bit of time we picked them up to keep on going. Said, but even in the mind of a rodent, the rat realized that if I can just hang on a little bit longer, maybe they'll pick me up again. And they kept, yeah, it does sound cruel. But because of that little bit of hope, they kept swimming. And they swam for 24 hours. Now, even though it was a cruel experiment, we admit, think about it. If a rat can somehow comprehend, if I keep on swimming, whatever this is picking me up may pick me up again, and it keeps on going. How much more should hope motivate us human beings? How much more should hope motivate us human beings who call ourselves Christians? One commentator on Psalm 25 says this, quote, to offer one's life to God means to trust God amid threatening circumstances. As is always the case, faith and hope are inseparable. Thus, to offer one's life to God means to wait for God to live in hope, end quote. I read somewhere that the author that I was reading contended that if from a human perspective we can see prospective answers or deliverance to our situation, that is not hope. This person went on to even say that if one can see an answer or deliverance from any human perspective is possible. Such is not hope. They went further to contend that hope can only be present when there is apparently no human answer, no deliverance possible or even imaginable within our power. Hence the experiment with the rats in the tubs of water. The rats gained hope not because of their ability to deliver themselves from that tub. They gained hope not from their ability, but they gained hope that they might be picked up. Picked up and delivered. Have you ever dealt with an issue where you felt like you were leaving you with the feeling that you had about as much hope, about as much power, about as much control as a rat thrown in a tub of water? If you're sitting there looking at me and saying, "No," I'm glad. I really am. I hope this sermon is totally irrelevant to you. But my guess is, well, I'm at least preaching to myself. My guess is at some point in all of our lives, we have felt like we had about as much power and control as a rat swimming in a tub of water. Maybe it was when you stayed in a dead-end job or a high-stress job that you didn't like, but you had responsibilities. And so you kept swimming. Maybe you dealt with consequences of a bad decision. And you had to keep swimming. Maybe you struggled through the illness and the loss of a loved one. But you had to keep swimming. Maybe it's as you witness the condition of our nation and our world right now, and basically all you can do is vote, and I can only speak for me, but that doesn't give me a whole lot of assurance. Psalm 25 is a prayer for two things. It's a prayer for help, and it's a prayer for forgiveness. This morning we're going to concentrate on the prayer for help. The psalmist is facing some kind of situation, facing people who are seeking to destroy them. And in the midst of that threat, they cry out for help. And the psalmist declares, reading from another version, "I offer my life to you, O Lord. My God, I trust you." Then follows the request for the defeat of those enemies. But notice the psalm. It does not say in the psalm that the psalmist had been delivered yet. It doesn't say that the psalmist was no longer facing the threat. But the psalmist expresses peace and confidence not because the threat is gone, but because of the assurance the psalmist experiences in their relationship with God. One night a gentleman was having dinner with some other folks, and he was keeping them entertained with stories of summers that he had spent in Maine, and he fascinated them with telling of experiences of growing up in a little town called Flagstaff. Well, the town was to be flooded as part of a large lake for which a dam had been built, and it was drawing close to time for that dam to be stopped and for the water to start backing up, and the town was going to be completely flooded. So he said in the months leading up to that, all of the improvements and repairs in the entire town stopped, not by any law. It was just, why paint your house when it's going to be underwater? Why beautify the town when it's going to be underwater? So week by week by week, the town, the whole town, fell into disrepair, bedraggled, woebegone. And then he added this final thought. He said, where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Hear that. Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. And so I ask us individually and as a congregation to consider, do we have faith in the future? And one's answer to that question depends on where one places their faith. I almost compiled a small list of places where we can place our faith and it leads to disappointment or apprehension, but I decided not to do that. I just felt like stating the bottom line. And that is anywhere where we place our faith that is developed by human beings in any sort is cause for apprehension and will lead to disappointment. As I contemplated this message, the stock market was experiencing record losses right after the week before experiencing record gains. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not calling the stock market irrelevant because my retirement is based on, I hope the General Board of Pensions knows what they're doing with my money. Because it's in the stock market. So, you know, I'm not saying it's irrelevant. But I am saying if that's where I'm basing my hopes, whew. Because one day it's way up here. The next day it's way down there. And then some days it's both. And it's not just the stock market. It's any place where humans are determining what takes place. Any human being, any human institution is a source of apprehension and disappointment. The psalmist proclaimed, I offer my life to you, O Lord. My God, I trust you. And then the psalmist further declares in verses 4 and 5, make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach it to me. Because you are the God who saves me. I put my hope in you all day long. The psalmist declared hope and peace because of the character of God. Even as the psalmist was dealing with the threat, even as the psalmist was dealing with enemies seeking to destroy, the psalmist trusted God. A gentleman writes about how he and his son were out in the country climbing around some cliffs. And as they were doing so, all of a sudden he heard this yell, hey Dad, catch me! And he turns around, he looks up, and there's his boy in midair. And so he turns around real quick, and he catches him, and they roll and tumble, and everybody's okay. And after Dad's heart slows down a little bit, and he composes himself a little bit, he said, son, can you tell me what possessed you to do that? And the boy quite simply said, sure, because you're my dad. His whole assurance was based on the fact that his father was trustworthy. And so he could live life to the hilt because Dad could be trusted. You know, I am very aware that preaching is easier than practice. And that's because I have a hard time practicing what I preach. I'm well aware that theory is easier than implementation. And I know that some statements may sound great in here, but are difficult out there. With that being said, some of you may find this next thought to fit those categories. But I ask you to consider it both here and in the future. And that's this. Life's challenges happen. Difficulties happen. We can't always stop them. We cannot always avoid them. But we do have a choice in how we deal with them. Now, I want to be clear. God gave us a brain. Therefore, of course, when dealing with life's issues, we use all of the tools at our disposal to solve them. But even so, our intelligence, our experience, our wisdom will only take us so far. Therefore, when we choose to trust our abilities and our wisdom and our intelligence solely, we bring needless pressure, we bring needless stress upon ourselves. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning. But most of us in this room have either said or heard it said so many times, I tried everything I could, and when nothing worked, I prayed. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, so sit on your hands if you have to. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many times have we either said it or heard it? Now, most of us in this room would not consciously attempt to resolve our issues, claiming we're smarter than God. But how many times have we fallen into that trap that is so easy to fall into? I do everything I can. I try everything I can. I pull what little bit of hair I have left out, trying to figure everything out. And then when nothing else works, pray. There's a part of a song that many of us love that we've grown up with. What a friend we have in Jesus. You remember a verse from that song that fits this context? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Why don't we pray first? Why don't we trust God over our wisdom? You know, we can, with dogged determination, attempt to resolve all of our issues through our own means, and we might even solve some of them. But we'll endure pain we don't really have to. We'll endure stress that we really don't have to. Or we can be like the psalmist. I offer my life to you, Lord. My God, I trust you. Doing so, we live in complete knowledge and trust that regardless of how confusing, regardless of how distressing, regardless of how threatening an issue may be, God is here and God will act. Yes, we use our brain, we use the tools at our disposal, but after seeking the wisdom of God and the guidance of God before and during our struggles. Because I can only speak for John, but you know what I've discovered? I've discovered when I go to God first, my brain seems to work better than vice versa. Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach it to me. Because you are the God who saves me. I put my hope in you all day long. Let us not forfeit our peace. Let's not suffer needless pain. Instead, let us offer our life to the Lord, trusting our God. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know us human beings. Here in the midst of life, and we're called upon to make decisions, and sometimes quick decisions, hard decisions. When we have to respond to circumstances, it's so easy to fall upon ourselves, and then when things don't work, to desperately cry out to you. Lord, help us to cry out to you first, and then allow you to work through our minds that we may actually, in a more peaceful, less painful, less stressful way, deal with the issues of life that are going to come. That we give our life to you and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to give a little